Cottrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. If you prefer to contribute to the program on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. John Schmelt with you back from Indianapolis at the Combine. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, a very eventful weekend. You saw all the stuff we did there on Giants.com. If you go to Giants.com, you'll automatically get linked to our Combine page. You'll see all the stuff we did from there. We did our daily reports. We did a bunch of fantastic interviews. I think you really get some good information. You had Peter King talking about some of the Giants' offseason stuff, focusing in on free agency. You had Rob Rang, the draft expert for CBSSports.com, really give you some in-depth analysis on some of the guys who might be available to the Giants when they pick at number 12. You had Bill Polian talking about how the Combine has changed over the years and how the new timing, I thought, was very interesting with the draft and free agency, how that might affect NFL teams going forward. We also had a chance to talk to the godfather of the NFL draft, Gil Brandt, who talked a little bit about what the draft used to be like, how it got started, and how the Combine is used to judge players. We talked to Bill Polian about that as well. And coming up either today or tomorrow, we also had a chance to talk to Mike Garofolo. And what we talked about with Mike is the stuff that happens at the Combine that you don't see on NFL Network. And I got NFL Network on right in front of me. You see these guys running around in their shorts and their tank tops. And that's part of what happens at the Combine, sure. But another thing that happens at the Combine is what happens when the workout's over, when the meetings with the players are over, which go later and later now, by the way. I know the Giants don't finish with their player meetings till 9 or 10 o'clock. Other teams are going to midnight interviewing these players one-on-one. And you really don't get, I don't think, as much as you used to, a lot of these GMs and agents and stuff meeting at bars at the wee hours of the night and, you know, seeing them do as much business as they used to, especially with free agency being backed up the way it is. So, well, we talked to Mike about that. We talked to Mike about a couple other different things in terms of Giants free agents, and I thought a couple very interesting things that he had to say were he said that if there's one player that he believes could get selected, rather be re-signed by the Giants before free agency starts, it would be Justin Tuck. He also said that Linval Joseph looking for a contract somewhere in the $8 million range, which I thought was a lot. He also talked about the interesting dynamic of John Beeson representing himself. He has not hired an agent yet, and how that might affect negotiations with the Giants and other teams. How's that going to work? So I thought that was very interesting. That interview will go up in the coming day or two. Now, we also heard from Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese over the weekend. And we can talk about all this stuff and whatever else you want to chat about on the Giants. In terms of what Coughlin said, some of the news he broke. One, I thought it was very interesting what he said about the offense and Ben McAdoo and how it's being put together. And quite frankly, I think it kind of mimics what I've told you I think it's going to be over the past couple of months. This is not going to be some West Coast offense, folks. Tom went out of his way, and no one asked him specifically about it, this particular facet of the offense. He went out of his way and said, we are going to be an offense that goes vertical, takes chances down the field, and run the football. So that tells me this is going to be your same power running game, play action pass, get good matchups, throw down the field type of offense we've seen here before. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be changes. Tom was also very careful to say that there were going to be some changes, some small, some drastic. And I think some of the drastic changes are going to be in terminology, I think some of the drastic changes might be in some of the different route combinations these guys run. You hope one of the drastic changes in it comes in the team's ability to run an effective screen pass, which they haven't done in a very, very long time. So you hope that's part of it. And then you have the small changes. And I really don't think there are going to be as many changes as Giant fans are envisioning. And I know some Giant fans are going to be upset about that. I, for one, think that's a good thing. And here's why. Let me explain. We've talked about how this offense here has been successful. This is the offense Eli Manning grew up in. This is the offense Eli Manning won 2 Super Bowls in and played his best football in. So, is it a wise thing to throw out the bathwater and the baby and get rid of everything and start over from scratch from day one? To me, that's not smart. To me, what this offense needed after last year were significant tweaks. And I think you saw with Ben McAdoo coming here, you're going to get significant tweaks. You're not going to get a complete reconstruction, but you're going to get enough changes where teams aren't going to be able to look at 6 or 7 years of tape and know what the Giants are going to do. The same concepts will remain, but the way they execute those concepts will be different. So the offense will be different, but maintain some of those key tenets that Tom Coughlin wants to live by. Run the football, get down the field, play action pass, things like that. So I do think the way the Giants are handling this offense is a good thing. Tom Coughlin's heavily involved, and I really can't wait for the offseason program to see how these things all come together. Now, I thought the most interesting thing Jerry Reese said, well, I thought there were two. One, he seemed willing to volunteer that there's a decent chance the Giants would trade down if the right trade avails itself. That's one. Number two, he basically revealed and admitted that Chris Neese said he wants to play this year, which to me kind of puts the Giants in an interesting conundrum. You have to get his base salary down. He's owed a $4.5 million guaranteed part of his contract this year, 12 overall. So he's looking at something like 6 and change in terms of guaranteed money, give or take. So you got to get that money down. And then what do you do with Snee in terms of slotting him? Do you say, well, if he's healthy, we'll start him? Can you afford to do that after what happened last year? Can you afford to do that with David Boss after what happened last year with these guys fighting all those injuries? Or do you have to bring in their replacements, and then what? You're going to have Chris Neese and David Boss on this team as backups? Is that going to work in that locker room with Pat Flaherty? With those guys? I don't know. So I think I'm not going to say it puts the Giants in a bad spot, but I think it puts them in a spot that they're going to have to navigate very carefully and figure out. Finally, my impressions of some of these players. I'm going to give you 5 options for the Giants when they select at number 12. Taylor Lewan, offensive tackle. Now, I don't think Greg Robinson will be there. If he is, I think the Giants would jump at him over Lewan. But I'm going to say Taylor Lewan because I think he'll be there. Sorry if Giant fan Sammy Watkins won't be there, but Mike Evans, decent chance he'll be there. It's choice number 2. Third guy I really like. And Mike Evans, by the way, 6'5 out of Texas A&M, ran a good 40 time yesterday, showed he had the speed to create some separation on the NFL level, very important. 3, I still love Eric Ebron, maybe more than I did before, despite the fact he didn't do anything after he ran his 4.5 40. And by the way, a 4.5 40, damn well good enough for a tight end. And I guarantee he'll be faster at his pro day. The thing that got me about Ebron is that he came out and said that I want to be a complete tight end. I not only want to be able to catch the football, I want to be able to block. Like it. That's Ebron at number 3. Today, Justin Gilbert ran a 4.35. That's pretty darn good. I think he's an option for you at number 12. I'm not sure what he measured in at yesterday. I imagine he measured in probably around 6 foot. Justin Gilbert an option. And finally, C.J. Mosley. And that's because I think Khalil Mack and Anthony Barr, and Anthony Barr, by the way, I had a number of people just rave to me about him. Those are the guys that I think the Giants could have available to them, will be wise to select at number 12 if they do pick a player. 201-939-4513. We could talk about any of that on more right now on Giants.com or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Maurice in Montclair, New Jersey has been waiting the longest. Maurice, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. It's been a long time, buddy.
Yeah, long time no speak, Mo. What's up?
Hey, nothing much, man. I was just thinking, you know, listening to the program a few times. Do you feel the same way I do? I feel that the Giants, we've neglected the linebacker position over a couple drafts. I know we had some misses with Sinem and, like, Phillip Dillard and those guys, but when I hear Jerry Reese speak and say that, you know, we're still about the best player available. Well, the best player available could be a quarterback, and I heard him say that, you know, if we will still take a quarterback, and that sounds bizarre to me. But do you think when he says that the best player available, does that also, you know, bring along the need with best player available? Because I think that's the way, not just best player available. I think we should attack it with need, the best player available. Like, we need an offensive lineman, so let's find out who's the best player available.
Well, Mo,
in fairness,
Jerry did go on and say that, you know, odds are the best player available for us in round one in our position is not going to be a quarterback. So I think it's important to kind of delve into deeper what Jerry Reese says. And, yes, the party line is best player available. But need does creep its way in. And if you look at who the Giants have selected in these drafts over the last few years, it hasn't just been best player available. They've selected based on need. Now, have they neglected the linebacker position? I don't think there's any question. In a lot of ways, they've neglected the linebacker position. Though, they did pick Clint Sintem in the second round. He didn't work out. You would have liked to get something out of Jonathan Goff, who was, I believe, a third-round pick, if I remember right. You had Greg Jones, who was a fifth-round pick. And then you had Phillip Dillard, who was a fourth-round pick. The fact that you got virtually zero, except, you know, one good year out of Goff, out of those four guys drafted between rounds two and four, I mean, that's pretty darn pathetic when you look at it like that. But do I think a linebacker could be on the table for the Giants in round one if a C.J. Mosley drops to them? Sure, I think that's a distinct possibility.
Okay, and I was thinking, you know, thinking about, you know, the way we might draft. I think, you know, I heard about a lot of my friends talk about we're going to do a lot of heavy lifting in our offensive linemen in the draft. But we need to get, you know, at least one young cornerback out there that's going to compete and, you know, bring some new life into that position. And I heard that there might not be no running backs taken in the first round, so that's a good thing.
Correct.
Because
correct.
We do need some assurance in that backfield due to David Wilson, you know, not knowing if, you know, everything's going to work out with him. But I think, you know, that we got the scouts and the guys in place to make the right decisions. All I want is the right decisions, John, moving forward, and I have total confidence in it. But it's good, you know, checking in and talking with you guys. And I'll speak with you guys later in the week, John. You have a good one.
Hey, sounds good, Mo. You too, buddy. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned the running back position. And basically everyone I talked to up there at the Combine said that they'd be shocked if a running back went in the first round. And obviously the kid Hyde from Ohio State, who a lot of people believe is the best running back on the board, pulled his hamstring running some of those drills on the 40-yard dash on Friday. That being said, if he's there for the Giants at two, and again, I'm not necessarily in favor of picking a running back behind the draft. I'd rather have a veteran come in and help that way. But that's a guy who's a big-body guy, would be an every-down back. That, to me, is the type of back that the Giants would be looking for. 201-939-4513, back to our phones. Bash is in Ohio. Bash, what's going on, pal?
What's going on with you, John?
Nothing much, Bash. What's up?
Everything good. Missed you the past 2 days.
No, I appreciate it. You know, I got a question for you, Bash. Have you seen a lot of that Hyde kid play at Ohio State being out there?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on him?
Carlos Hyde?
Yeah.
Hyde's a good player. I mean, he's a all-around player. I believe he's good. I think we've seen him at the second rounder. I see they're talking about a lot of prospects of Carolina taking him with their little pick with Carolina in the first round. The only possibility, maybe.
Okay.
But he's maybe a high second round pick.
All right, what do you got for me, Bash?
I got two questions. Watching the Combine over the weekend with Jerry Reese said two things that I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
Two things. On the aspect of the free agency, he said he's going to let all the veterans go in the market in free agency, and he wants them to get the most money they want, and he's with getting the most money you can in free agency. Now, if all our free agents go into free agency and they all get big market and they all go to someone else, then we're looking at mediocre players to fill their spots with the Tuck and the Beasons and the Knicks and the Josephs. We're looking for all those needs that we already have problems with, so trying to get them before free agency. He said he's going to let all of them hit the open market and let them all try to get the most money they can. What do you think about that, one aspect of that, and what did he really mean by that?
Yeah, I don't think Jerry Reese means he wants these guys to all get more money elsewhere and leave. I don't think that's where Jerry was going with it. I think the point Jerry was trying to make is that as general manager, he understands what players' agents and players try to do in free agency is maximize their value and sign for the most money they can. And he understands, and if he was a player, he'd do the same thing. And quite frankly, if I was a player, I'd do the same thing, Bash. And if you were a player, you'd do the same thing. So I think it was simply a matter of Jerry Reese basically saying that he gets it. He understands why a guy like Tuck would want to get to free agency to see what the market is like. He understands why a guy like Beeson or Joseph would want to do the same thing. I think he's almost playing good cop with these potential free agent players saying, look, guys, I get it. There are no hard feelings if you want to go to free agency. You're trying to maximize your value. I understand that. But, of course, I think the Giants are still interested in bringing all those guys back. I think Tuck and Beeson are very possible. I think Joseph is much less likely.
You know, an aspect of that, and if they go hit the mark and they all get money thrown at them and they all more than they're worth and they all go sans worth, then an aspect of replacing all the players, Tuck and Beeson and Joseph, on aspect of they go out and they get wowed by a deal that get wowed them and somebody throws them more money than the Giants are trying to expect and they get overwhelmed by a deal, then what would happen? And what he said will backfire on them on them hitting the market instead of trying to bring them in before free agency, and then it backfires on what he's trying to do.
Well, yeah, but Bash, I don't think anything Jerry Reese says at a press conference at the Combine is going to affect what Justin Tuck, John Beeson, and Linval Joseph do. I mean, look, I'm sure Jerry Reese has spoken to these guys, and I'm sure he's given them the contract specifications and number that the Giants would be comfortable signing these guys at. And these players have said to him, no, we want to go explore free agency. And I think that's where Jerry Reese is coming from. These guys already told him that, look, whatever offer the Giants, you know, have made or discussed with them, they think they might be able to get better on the open market. So they're going to test to see if they can find out. And if I'm Jerry Reese, I have a number in my head that I think these guys are worth, and I would not go over that number until I see I have to, based on what they might be able to get in free agency. It's not like these guys are saying to the Giants, look, I want to sign for below market value, and Jerry Reese says, no, I don't want to sign you below market value. I want you to go find more money elsewhere. That's not what's happening here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right, I understand that. Now, second question.
Yeah.
You said on the aspect of what you just said, I just heard you say it yourself, and the aspect of we bringing about possibility of trading down from the number 12 spot.
Yeah.
Now, the five players that you just named, say they're not there, they are available, but we're possibly of trading them, meaning we have a lot of needs and a lot of holes that need to be filled, us trading back maybe the low teens in 18, 19, 20 with the Ravens or Cowboys trying to move up to grab a wide receiver or a corner or whatever they're trying to grab, and we moving down, get more picks in the second round and establishing more picks that the Patriots do, trying to trade down to get more picks. And I see us trading down to maybe the low teens, like 18, 19, 20, maybe getting a Zach Brown who's not qualified at 12 via a reach, or reaching down maybe 18, 19, getting a Zach Brown that can play guard or tackle.
You mean Zach Martin?
Zach Martin, and also the corner from Michigan, Denard.
Yeah, look, I think
in that range.
I think trading down will be an option. I wouldn't trade down as far as 20 because I think once you drop down eight spots, you know, those five guys that I mentioned who all might actually be on the board when the Giants take a 12, there's a good chance all those guys might be gone. So
right. If
you go from 12 to, say, you know, 16, 17, drop down five spots, pick up a third-round pick.
Maybe Steelers are trying to move up.
Right.
Yeah,
that's something I would definitely consider if all those guys are there and you have, like, an even grade on all of them and you'd be okay getting any one of those five players. Yeah, I would consider trading down. But, Bash, here's my one variable. I need to make sure that I can get an impact player that helps me in year one as a starter in this draft. And I think any of those five guys I mentioned, every one of those five guys would be a player that fits that criteria. The worst thing you can do is trade down and move out of the area where you can get one of those big-time impact players. The Giants are picking 12. Luckily for Giant fans, that doesn't happen that often because they win a lot of football games. But now that you're at 12, you got to get a big-time Pro Bowl caliber player, and the last thing you want to do is trade down to the point where you drop a tier of talent, and I don't want to do that.
Now, one more question, John.
Yeah.
One more question on aspects of trading down. A possibility, you know, Jerry's not real big on moving up or down and ain't doing it, but he hopefully stays at his spot. You see his draft history, hopefully he stays at his whatever our draft position as we say that. So what's the possibility of us trading up to maybe a 8 or a 9 to get, you know, get a player that we see someone else probably looking at that we want, that we really want, and us moving up or maybe a spot or two spots to draft? Because, you know, in history's time, a lot of players that we wanted, someone jumped right in front of us to grab them, and we always sit at our same spot, and Jerry never trades up or trying to do anything to fight for a player that he wanted. Aspects of instances when we drafted David Wilson 2 years ago, they might not say that they wanted Doug Martin, but Bucks jumped right in front of us and grabbed Doug Martin. Would have been a great player for us instead of David Wilson. A few years ago, the Eagles jumped in front of us and grabbed Macklin, who we wanted over Knicks, and they moved up in spots to grab Macklin over Knicks. So,
well, Bash,
what do you think,
I'll say this: I think considering how much the Giants value picks in every round, even though they haven't executed on some of those later round picks, I think it's very unlikely that the Giants trade up from 12, only because I'm not sure how much better of a player you're going to get at 8 or 9 than you're going to get at 12. And I think moving up, you know, further than that is going to be prohibitive, because we know how many teams might be moving up to try to get quarterback in those top 5, 6, 7 picks. So I don't think you're going to move up more than that, because that's going to start costing you perhaps a 1 next year or 2 this year, and I don't think you want to lose that. So I'd put the odds very low that the Giants move up. However, and here's the one caveat, if, let's say, for example, the Giants strike out in free agency in terms of bringing in a big-time offensive lineman. So you get to the draft, you know, let's say you added one veteran, you re-signed Kevin Booth, but that's it. And the rest of your line is still what it was last year. And the Giants see, you know, Jake Matthews go off the board at 2, Greg Robinson's off the board at 7, and all of a sudden, you know, the 8th pick comes around, and they're like, if we don't get Taylor Lewan here, we're in a lot of trouble. That's the one instance where I could see the Giants and Jerry Reese going, you know what, let's trade up, get our difference-making tackle, and let's make that move. But I think Jerry Reese and the Giants will also try to make sure they are not in that position in the draft where they have to get somebody in a certain position, because that's when you get into trouble in a situation like that. You know what I mean?
I understand. One more thing. In the order that you had the 5 that you seen and the thing that you liked, I wouldn't really like to agree with those 5, the order that you had them in, on the aspect of what you speak about a lot, on the aspect of Pugh and Lewan, when Tyler Lewan, on the aspect of Pugh played excellent at right tackle last year, and moving him, if you draft Lewan, you know that you're moving Pugh in the guard,
yep.
Which is, he had a whole 4 year in tackle, then had a good year, and then moving him off season, establishing guard. So I think our first priority in free agency, I would think, if we don't hit on a cornerback, would be Gilbert, would be number 1 for me. Gilbert, and then a Lewan, and then maybe a Mike Evans, and then Ebron and Mosley. I would just jump Gilbert on it. As well, we need a number 2 cornerback next to Prince. We need a cornerback, a young cornerback to establish the other side with Prince in there, knowing that we want to have Mosley and some other player on a cornerback, and we need a young cornerback. So I would just switch that up and Gilbert at number 1 priority in free agency if he's there. When that's what I'm seeing, I see a lot of things where Gilbert, they have a lot of mocks that Gilbert's going to the Lions at number 10. And I'm saying we can maybe jump up to 8 and 9, grab Gilbert being the number 1 corner in this year's draft, and grabbing the Gilbert, knowing that we don't need really a top-notch tight tackle when we have Pugh and Beatty on the tackles.
Thanks, Bash. Appreciate the call, man.
All right.
Hey, take it easy. Good stuff out of Bash there, out of Ohio. And you know, honestly, that those 5 I gave you, I wasn't giving them in an order. I haven't sorted it out that far yet. I mean, if all 5 guys are out there, I mean, who would the Giants pick? I think it depends what they do in free agency. That's why I don't want to say I think the Giants are going to pick this guy, I think the Giants should pick this guy, just because I don't know what's going to happen in free agency. One other thing that one of the guys that covered the Browns, by the way, tweeted over the weekend, and I'm not sure everybody saw this, but I know, amidst all the Jim Harbaugh to the Brown rumors, which I believe there's more fire than smoke in that scenario, I would not be surprised if, you know, maybe not quite as close to happening as Mike Florio might have seemed to be inclined to believe it was. I think there probably was some fire there. You know, Jim Harbaugh, I imagine, just based on his demeanor, might be a little tough to deal with at times. And, you know, him having a short shelf life in certain organizations would not surprise me. That being said, the one piece of Browns news that came out amidst all that other nonsense was that their first priority this offseason is going to be to re-sign Alex Mack. So it might be tough for the Giants to get him over here. And, you know, I think that's when you look at a Jeff Schwartz from Kansas City. That's when you look at a Dietrich Smith. That's when you look at a De La Puente. And you see if those guys can come in at a cheaper cost, but they give you good production. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Anthony down in Maryland. Anthony, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John, how you doing this morning?
What's up, buddy?
All right. My first question is the offensive line. I think Chris Snead, they need to either release him or trade him and get younger on the offensive line. What do you think about that?
Let me put it this way. I think if Chris Snead tells the Giants he wants to play out of respect, what they'll do is, you know, obviously they got to pay him that $4.5 million regardless. So he's getting that money whether he gets cut, retires, or whatever. They'll renegotiate his contract down where he's a base salary of something close to the veteran's minimum. They'll bring him to camp, and they'll make him compete for a spot. I don't think they're going to hand him anything, but at the same time, I think out of respect for what he's done here, they won't cut him outright, and they'll give him a chance to compete, and if he shows he's still good enough to play, and we all know when Chris Snead's at his best, he's a very good offensive lineman. Now, if he can get back there or not, I don't know. He's had 3 hip surgeries, I think he's up to now, and that's tough to recover from. So I don't know, but I believe the Giants will give him a chance to at least try to come back and play. But I believe they will set themselves up where they don't need him to be a starter. But he can be there as depth, and if he is good enough to start, that's great, but they're not going to depend on him.
Okay. My second question is, I just recently heard, a little while ago, heard you say that the Browns will attempt to re-sign Alex Mack.
Correct.
I really think that Alex Mack is going to leave Cleveland. I think Alex Mack is really tired of winning 4 games a year.
That could be true, but you're going to have to pay the guy, man. You are going to have to pay the man money.
Oh, definitely. I've seen him play. He's definitely a good football player, and he's young. He's only 28. I don't know, but would he be a great fit for the Giants?
Would who be a great fit for the Giants?
Alex Mack.
I think he would be. I mean, look, you bring in any great offensive lineman to play on the inside here, I think it's a good fit. I don't think you can depend on David Boss to be your starting center all year long based on all his injuries last year. So, yeah, I think a guy like Mack would be a good fit. I think a guy like Jeff Schwartz from Kansas City, who's probably the top guard on the market, would be a pretty good fit too.
Okay, and my last question, and I'm going to let you go on with the show. The running back situation, where do you think the Giants are going to be doing with that in the offseason? I think they're going to stay with David Wilson, bring in a Ben Tate or James Starks or somebody like that. What do you see the backfield forming out in 2014?
The Giants' offensive backfield you're talking about, the running back position?
Yes, the running back position. Yes, sir.
I would say David Wilson tries to come back. You bring back Andre Brown, and then you add somebody that you believe can carry the load for 20 carries a game. And then, of course, you have John Connor, I think, or Hanoski as your fullback. And I think those are your 5 guys, and maybe you have Michael Cox come back as a special teamer slash kickoff returner. But I want to make sure I go out there and I get a guy that has proven in the NFL. This is why I want a veteran, not a rookie, because, frankly, I don't trust the rookies. I want to bring in a veteran that I know can run the football, catch the football, pass protect, and I really should have listed that first, pass protect, run the football, catch the football, that you can depend on, because I'm sick of playing these musical chairs with these running backs, and, you know, these guys always get hurt. I want somebody that can come in here and you can depend on, and to me, the guy I want to go after is Rashad Jennings from Oakland. I think he's a perfect fit for what the Giants are going to want to do here this year.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. And I'm sorry, I didn't really catch the NFL Combine this week as far as, busy working, whatever the case may be. But as far as our cornerback position, I really like the kid from Michigan. I think he would be a great fit with Alcamora. At number 12, I know the Giants don't usually do linebackers in the first round. But do you see them doing seeing a linebacker go in the first round this year?
To the Giants or just overall you're talking about?
No, to the Giants. I don't talk about no other team but my Giants.
well, I think you'll probably get three linebackers in the top 15, to be honest with you. I think you'll get Mack, Barr, and Mosley will go in the top 15. I don't think Barr will be there for the Giants. I think he's probably going to be the first right. linebacker off the board. I think Mack will probably be second. I think Mosley will be an option for the Giants. I think if John Beeson doesn't come back, he becomes more of an option. But I believe they will look long and hard at C.J. Mosley. I think in the NFL, he's more of a will linebacker on the outside than he is a middle guy because he's only, what, 230 pounds or something like that. So I think they'll look at Mosley. Do I think that's the most likely position they go after? Probably not. But I think they will look at him.
Who do you think the Giants will replace Beeson with if Beeson leaves free agency?
I have no idea. I got to be honest with you, Anthony, and that's why I think it's so important that they bring him back. I don't think there is a replacement out there for John Beeson, middle linebacker. I guarantee you there's no replacement on the roster. It's going to have to be somebody from the outside, and I'm not sure anybody gives you that type of leadership and intangibles that Beeson gives you.
Right, right. All right, my man, that's about it, brother. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, brother.
Anytime, Anthony. You too, my man. Appreciate it. 201.
All right, thank you, sir.
Take it easy. 201-939-4513. I haven't heard from Anthony in a while. I haven't heard from Mo in a while. Good to hear from my boys. Let's go to Charles down in North Carolina. I haven't heard from Charles in a bit either. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I've just been kicking back, man, watching everything unfold. But, you know, I think what everybody has to understand here is that we are in position this year to be reactionary when it comes to the draft.
What do you mean by that, Charles?
And what I mean by that is we can react off what happens in free agency.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of possibilities out there. You know, you got Albert at left tackle. You got Mack at center. You got Brandon Tate at running back. You got Vontae Davis at corner. There's a lot of talent, veteran talent out there that's proven that's in free agency. Now, obviously, we're not going to have a dream team scenario or nothing like that. But, you know, we are going to get a piece here and there in free agency. And I think that we're going to be able to react off that and then go into the draft. The draft has so many possibilities. I mean, you got Luan, you got Gilbert at cornerback, you got C.J. Mosley at linebacker. At 12, we're going to be able to get a player that's probably going to start day one.
Better. If you're picking 12, Charles, you better get a guy starting day one. If you don't, guess what? You did something wrong.
Well, I mean, you know, when JPP came in, we picked, I don't know what pick we were that year. We was up there, but he didn't start day one.
I think
one,
JPP
so
was 13, if I remember right. I'll have to double check that.
Yeah, something like that, but he didn't start day one. So what I'm saying is I think this year.
Yeah, but in this draft with this level of talent, as deep as it is, you better get a starter.
Exactly. I mean, that's pretty much what I'm saying now. I don't want the tight end from Carolina. I don't want to see.
He can play, man. He can play.
He can play, but you know what? We got so many other pressing needs right now.
But tight end's a big one. There isn't one guy in this roster that you have any inkling can play tight end for you.
I think we can bring somebody in free agency. And, again, free agency is deep with tight ends. You know, JaMychal Finley might get released if he's not already released by the Packers.
Charles, I have a question for you. If I told you that Eric Ebron, and I have people on Twitter already assuming that this is going to be my pick for the Giants, which I don't know yet, but I do like him. If I told you that Ebron in his first year would catch 63 passes, 9 touchdowns, 925 yards, and then in year two get up to 85 catches, 1,000 yards, 11 or 12 touchdowns, would you be okay picking him in the first round then?
I mean, here's the thing. I can't say that because at the end of the day, we're not thinking about – see, here's the problem I have with offensive weapons as far as Mike Evans, Ebron, some of these other wide receivers, Sam Watkins, whatever. Here's my problem, and it's not even my problem, but I don't know what our offense is going to look like.
Right.
I don't know what we're going to be running exactly. I know it's going to be a variance of what Coughlin wants to do and what the Green Bay Packers do. I don't really know how a tight end's going to – I know how a tight end would have fit in Gilbride. To a certain degree. We've seen it for, 8-9 years? But I don't know. So that's why I'm like, you know,
personally, from a fan standpoint, I don't know what this guy, I don't know what a tight end's going to look like in McAdoo's system. That's why I'm weary. I don't know. You know, we know what Jermichael Finley did in Green Bay with that system and stuff like that. But with Coughlin, you know, putting his input in it and there being a variance of what they do, I just don't know. So I know with a Gilbert, I love the kid. I mean, you're going to have a guy beside Prince that's probably, you know, he's going to start day one, fast as I'll get out. You possibly got a kick returner in with him. And then, you know, he's a great man-to-man cover guy. We had, you know, it took Prince a couple years to get to that point to where, you know, he's almost close to being a shutdown type of guy. I love Gilbert. You know, LaJuan, you can't go wrong with the O-line. I mean, you know, we definitely need help there. But again, at free agency, you know, we go in and we end up with a Vontae Davis or Talib or somebody like that. All of a sudden now, you don't have to get a Gilbert. You don't
well,
have
Charles,
to get the Nez.
Charles, that's what I'm saying. To me, it's impossible right now to say, well, this is who the Giants are taking the first round. Right now, the Giants have about 25 guys on their roster. They literally have about 25 guys on their roster. That's not even half a roster. That's how many free agents the Giants have. Let's wait and see what they do in free agency before we say this is who the Giants are taking the first round. I just gave you the five players that I think will be the best players on the board when the Giants pick at 12. And they'll have a lot of options, and I love where the Giants are picking in this draft. Based on what they need, I think they're going to get something they need, and they're going to get somebody that will start right away.
And that's exactly what I mean by this is the first year we have a chance to be reactionary
right.
to what happens in free agency. This is the first year we can say it's not necessarily being about the best player on the board. We're going to need someone. The first-round pick is going to be a need pick. One way or the other, this team is Swiss cheese right now. You just said it. We only got 25 people on the roster. Now the beauty in that is, other than three or four players that's free agents, the rest of those guys can walk. And I mean that wholeheartedly. This team needs a flush of new guys that's coming in here that can play ball, man. Other than Beason, we gotta resign Beason. I agree with you. That guy has to come back because he's the heart and soul of the defense. He's more of a leader than Tuck ever was. I love Tuck to death. I hope Tuck comes back at the right price. But Beason is a natural born guy. That can just lead this team. He's a natural at it. He led the Panthers for a long time until Kegley got there. And, you know, he's seen the leadership he brought to this team last year. Other than that, if Leville walked, hey, man, if we can't get him at the right price, see you later. If we can't get Tuck at the right price, see you later. And I don't think Knicks will be back. But other than Beason, man, I think we can fill those roles. I like Hankins. I think he's going to have a big breakout year this year. You know, we mess around and get Timmy Jernigan and Knicks, and a lot of those guys are some prospect guys in the draft that we could bring in. Don't sleep on the D-tackles because, you know, Levi Joseph does walk. It's a reaction that we might have to fill that role. You know, you see what I'm saying?
I do, Charles.
This free agency, man, we're not going to know really have a beat on what the Giants are going to do until we get past this free agency, see who comes back, see who leaves, see who we can get. I mean, you got Hatcher, you got some guys in free agency that can fill that D-tackle role that had great years last year, and we probably can get on one-year deals. You know, Jerry Reese loved the one-year deal guys.
Sounds good, Charles.
All right, y'all have a go.
Hey, appreciate the call, but I just want to get to the rest of the guys. We got a bank full of calls. Thank you, Charles. Good stuff. And I agree, you got to wait to see what happens in free agency first. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Gwen up in Yonkers. Gwen, good morning. I'm sorry, that says Owen. It looked like a G. My bad. Owen's up in Yonkers. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, bro?
What's going on?
Nothing. I just want to touch on three things so far. You know, we've been talking about Lynn Viles. You know, he's a great player. Absolute monster down low. But we just have too much depth. You know, we need to maximize, you know, as much as we can for each position, considering
yep.
we only have 25 guys on the roster. You know?
I agree, 100%.
Bouncing off of that, as far as defensive end, do we still have a Jomo under contract?
No, Jomo was released, and I believe he is on another team's either roster or practice squad at this point.
Oh, man, because we never got a chance to really see him actually on the field. I mean, preseason he killed, and they said, you know, he didn't practice well, which is why he didn't see the field much, but I mean, preseason, he was an absolute monster.
Yeah, but remember, though, he did it in preseason against third and fourth string offensive linemen.
That's true, too. That's true.
And you're right, by the way. He did not practice well, and he was very unimpressive day-to-day. And quite frankly, I think that's a bad reflection on somebody's work ethic. If you're not going to do well in practice
absolutely.
And your guy trying to make the roster, I think that reflects pretty poorly on you as a player.
No, absolutely agree with that. As far as the O-line, I mean, I know we have, you know, a lot of things to clean up on the O-line, and we have a lot of money to work with as far as the cap is concerned, but we also have a lot of other positions to fill. Granted, there was a problem last season with Richie Incognito. I really think that the Giants should make a move on him. You know, they can get him for probably next to nothing. And
hey, look, I hear you, and I would love to get an Incognito type, but the Giants will not touch him and the controversy that goes around him with a 10-foot pole. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. Knowing how the Giants, you know, the Giants organization, you know, it's a higher up, you know, they're not going to want to deal with any of the
right.
media attention and all of that other nonsense.
Exactly.
I just want to touch on a few things. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Hey, Owen, appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve-O, what's up, buddy?
What's happening, John, buddy? How's it going today, buddy?
I'm doing
listen,
well.
I'm not going to take a lot of time. I don't really have too much to say today anyway. You know, you guys kind of stole my thunder. But I did want to kind of put the word out to Big Blue Nation. Let them know, do not worry about Jerry Reese. Jerry Reese knows exactly what he's doing. You know, I don't know why people don't realize the man has to play, you know, a little bit of chess here. This is not checkers. This is chess. You know, you got to throw everybody off with, you know, who we're going to pick. So people don't, you know, what we're really trying to get. And as far as him saying about, you know, the free agents, I mean, obviously, you know, it makes him look good to say that he wants everybody else to get money. But at the same time, it also makes other teams kind of hesitant to court these free agents if they think that they're looking for big money. So I just want to say, just relax. I still feel like we have one of the best GMs in the business, if not the best. I know nobody's going to be happy with every single pick, but rest assured, he's doing the best job possible. So with that, you know, obviously that's just my opinion. But with that being said, John, I just want to know one thing that really, you know, concerns me is where are we going to get a running back? Because I'm looking in the draft, and I don't see anybody who really jumps out at me. I hope we don't reach for the kid from Boston College. But I'm just wondering, John, can you talk a little bit about where you see us getting a running back in free agency or the draft, and who do you like? And I'm going to go ahead and hang up because I'm at work today.
All right, Stevie.
People expect me to get some work done. But, hey, thanks for taking my call, and I'll be listening out there. Have a great show.
Go get it, bud. Here's how I look at running back. I'm terrified of picking a running back in the draft. I feel like whenever you draft a running back in the draft, what do you say when he comes in? Oh, he has to learn how to pass protect. He has to learn an NFL offense. And he's not ready to do this. He's not ready to do that. He doesn't hold on to the football. I'm done with it. You already got a guy like that on your team in David Wilson if he comes back. I don't want to invest in another one of those guys. Give me a veteran in free agency, a Jennings, somebody like that, who understands the NFL and can do all those things already. Not just run the football, but pass protect, block, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I want. Now, if you strike out in free agency and you don't have the finances for it, you don't have the resources, then, yeah, I would look in the draft. And I wouldn't wait till around 6 or 7 either because the Giants need a damn running back. You pick a guy like Hyde from Ohio State, that's done a little bit of everything there. He's caught balls out of the backfield. He has pass protected. He has run it. He's a bigger kid. He can take a pounding. That's the type of back I look at. 201-939-4513. Len's in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. Welcome back.
Thank you, bud. What's going on?
Well, listen, you gave me the chills earlier when I had to think about life without John Beeson. And you made the good point. Who the heck would play middle linebacker? I tell you, that's
I don't know.
Enough to give you a headache.
I have no idea.
I know.
No clue.
That's enough to give you a headache, John.
It is.
And, all right. Secondly, let's hang on to that pick. Let's not trade that pick. I mean, I know I'm saying this partially in jest, but we worked long and hard to get the 12th pick in the draft, John. We haven't picked 12th. We haven't picked 12th in probably 10 years, 12 years. I mean, that's just a high pick it's too high to trade. Too high to trade. Hang on to that pick. Any of the five guys, I don't care what happens in the combine, John, who we re-sign, any of those five guys that you had on that list, listen, if they're all there, throw their names in a hat, and, John, you pick one out of the hat. They can all play. They can all start first year on this team. I mean, no question about it. No question about it. And I hope we have that big a choice, that it's that five guys who are gonna be there.
Well, Len, you know what? I think you will have that big of a choice, though, because you're going to have the three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You're going to have the top two offensive tackles.
Oh, yeah.
You're
going
to have the two linebackers. You're going to have Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
And you're already up to eight with just those guys.
Yes.
So I think you're going to have a good choice.
That's it. I think there are eight guys who are sure things, and I think you just named them. And then you get into Barr at number nine, and you know you start going from there. It's going to be unbelievable the number of players that we're going to have there that we can pick from, who are going to be able to start on that first day, first day of the season, and are really going to contribute. Now the only one I got a little problem with, and it's not a problem with the player, it's a problem with about something that I've been saying all along, that Tom hinted at to you and in his combine interview, and that's the tight end from North Carolina. Look, very talented guy, but I'm not sure he fits this team, John.
Why do you say that, Len?
Let me just see, here I go repeating myself again, but look, Tom and Eli are joined at the hip. Protect Eli. That's what it's all about. That tight end is got to be able to block. If you want Ebron to get to the nine touchdowns, if you want him to have 60 catches in that first year, yeah, he's going to have to flank out, John. He's going to almost have to play the slot, maybe even move out to the outside like Kyle Rudolph does.
Well, then, but that's fine. So you know what you do then? You have five good offensive linemen, and you have your running back in the backfield pick up the blitz instead of the tight end, and all you do is have the tight end chip on his way out of the off the offensive line. I think that's fine.
I think with Tom's overall philosophy, and I think where McAdoo is going to help us the most, and again, here I go repeating myself again, but, you know, red zone offense, third down offense, play calling. I was glad to see Tom said he's turning the play calling over to McAdoo. You know, first 10 plays of the game so we don't sleepwalk through those first 10 plays. Maybe a little up-tempo in those first 10 plays. Get with Eli. What do you think will work in these first 10 plays? And set a specific pattern early in the game. That's and his play calling. That's where I see McAdoo. If you know, I think Tom wants a tight end that can block first, and is big enough to catch some safety valve passes. I mean, we keep wanting a guy who can do both these things. They're really hard to find. I like the kid from Notre Dame.
Well, I was going to say, if that's the type of player you're looking at, I think Nicholas is the guy. If he lasts to the Giants in the second round, which is no guarantee.
Yeah, I think that's the type of guy, John, at 43. If he's there, we jump all over him.
If you want to take one of those other four guys in round one, then try to get Nicholas in round two, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you pick Ebron out of the hat, John, if you pick Ebron out of the hat, this guy, he can play. I mean, he's going to be an NFL player. I'm not sure next year it's the right fit for the Giants. Listen, we got to win 10 games next year, John. The clock is ticking on Eli. We got to win 10 games. We got to win the NFC East. We got six games against those guys. I mean, come on. Let's block for Eli. Let him be able to do his thing. But any one of those guys would be good. Hey, let me just say one more thing here.
Yeah.
If there's one free agent out there, not our own free agents, but one free agent out there who you think would really make a difference, John. Who is that guy? And that let's just assume, so we can save some time. Let's just assume it's Mac. Okay, can we just say it's going to be Mac would make the most difference of all those free agents? Is that fair, John?
I'm okay with that. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Now here's where I'm going with this. Pay him. He's a difference maker.
Hey, look, Jerry Reese said, Len, Jerry Reese said there's three stages of free agency at the combine. One is when the teams go out there and get the players they really want and maybe pay a little bit above market value. That's stage one. And I think the Giants will have one stage one free agent this year, and I believe it'll be an offensive lineman.
Well, listen, sometimes if you want the difference maker, John, if you want the guy who's going to be part of your top 10, right, your core players for the next 5, 6, 7 years, John, you got to overpay. Again, assuming it's Mac, pay the guy. I mean, sometimes if you want the difference maker, John, you got to overpay. And listen, we're overpaying for a reason. The guys who are commanding these big dollars, I know there's a tendency to go out there and throw dollars at people. I understand that. But there's a reason why Mac is going to make all this money, John.
He's good.
He's a player.
Yeah, exactly.
He's good. I mean, we keep overlooking the fact that these guys are good. They're difference makers. And in the new NFL, John, listen, you pay 10 guys, and then there's the next 40. Right? You pay 10 guys. That's the way it works today. You got to find somebody who can get in there who is a difference maker and is a long-term pay guy. Hey, John, it's good to hear you back. Glad you're back. Everything went well in Indianapolis?
Everything was great. It was a lot of fun.
There you go. Good. Hey, John, we'll talk later in the week.
Sounds good, Len.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Take it easy.
All right. Bye-bye.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Fred in Atlanta. Fred, what's going on, pal?
How you doing, John? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Fred.
I really do like Eric Ebron. Last time we were in this situation, we had the 12th pick in the first round. We picked up Jeremy Shockey. If I'm not mistaken, he took it to the playoffs 3 years in a row in that tight end position.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I have to go back and look at his game log and what years it was. But the Giants definitely did make a lot of postseasons with him on the roster, for sure.
And I know, I've been listening to the on the internet and everything. I'm really, listening to people calls and whatnot. And Shake's talking about he don't want to talk about Akeem Nicks. But here's one I'd like to talk about is last offensive player that we drafted was Akeem Nicks from North Carolina. So that'd be perfect. We draft Eric Ebron. He's from North Carolina, and because I don't think Akeem Nicks is going to stay with us.
Hey, look, and I think Ebron can replace some of the skill set you lost from Burris and you lost from Knicks after he kind of got hurt and, stopped being the type of player that he used to be. He's the guy that can catch the ball over the middle, down the seam. He's got a lot of height. He'll be good in the red zone. I think he brings a lot to the table that the Giants have been missing the last couple of years.
Yes, and I know we need to address the offensive line. I know that. But when you have a player like this, that's they say he's like similar to Vernon Davis, and he has great hands, and I think Eli would love a weapon like this.
No, dude, I agree, and thanks for the call, Fred. I appreciate it, bud.
All right, you take care now.
Take it easy. And I think, look, you got a guy with the skill set and talent of Eric Ebron. Guess what? Ben McAdoo and Tom Coughlin are gonna figure out a way to use him. I mean, talking to Peter King, he referred to Ben McAdoo as an adapter. He's gonna build his offense around the talent that you have. And look, to me, Eric Ebron is nothing more than and I use this word with purpose, much better version of JerMichael Finley. He's a better catcher, he's a better athlete, and I think he's even a little taller. Though I think their heights are probably around the same. That's how good this kid is. And he's probably not much of a head case as Finley is either. Trust me, if you get a guy like Ebron with Jimmy Graham-esque skills, they're going to figure out a way to use him. Trust me. 201-939-4513. Remember, he said at the combine that he wants to be a blocker. And he has the body to do it. That was the problem with Travis Beckham when he was here. Even if Travis Beckham wanted to block, you look at him in the locker room, he's built like a safety. He just wasn't a big guy. Ebron's a big freaking dude. You look at Martellus Bennett, he wasn't the thickest guy in the world, but he was tall, he had long arms. To me, Bennett and Ebron have very similar body types. They're not that different. Bennett's probably a little heavier, but in terms of length and height, they're the same. So Ebron can do it, folks. And based on what he said at the draft, and I have to take the man at his word, he wants to be able to do it. 201-939-4513. And as Mike Farmer points out on Twitter, you can't find the tight end in the free agent market that brings that type of difference-making skill. You can find an offensive lineman in free agency that can give you the same thing that maybe a Lawan can give you if you leave Pugh a tackle and then you bring in a top-notch interior lineman like a Jeff Schwartz. You can do that. You know, finding a Justin Gilbert skilled guy in free agency is probably going to be a little bit tough. Finding a Mike Evans skilled guy in free agency is going to be pretty damn tough. Frankly, I think the Giants are set up really well at number 12. I really do. And I've said in years past where, you know, you're going to be in a tough spot. I'm not sure if the guy you want is going to be there. And I believe I said that about last year's draft. And they ended up getting a good player in Pugh. But they almost didn't. You know, they wanted Warmack. Not Warmack. They wanted the big tackle that got picked. Shoot. I can't think of the damn kid's name. He ended up playing right tackle all year. And I can't remember his darn name, and the Giants played him this year, too. It'll pop in my head in a second. But that's who the Giants really wanted, and he didn't last that long. Cowboys wanted him, too. A lot of teams wanted him. Big right tackle. Monster. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Anthony in Phoenix. He's been holding the longest. Anthony, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning, John. Welcome back.
Thank you, bud. What's up?
Maybe it was Fluker you were thinking
DJ
of?
DJ Fluker. Thank you very much. That's exactly who it
was. Yeah, I was high on him. My son and I were watching the draft last year, and I wanted Fluker so bad. Oh, it just annoyed me. Well, anyway, but they did. The scouting did real good. I mean, Pugh really was a nice find.
No question.
Listening to the show this morning, looking at the offensive tackles and watching the combine, so what you're saying to me and what you're really saying to the audience, if Ebron is available, and if we have a choice between Ebron and, let's say, Matthews, you would take Ebron?
I don't know if I would take him over Matthews. Matthews and Greg Robinson, to me, are a step above Taylor Lewan. I don't think either of the guys will be there. I think the better question, and I think this is a good one, too, if I had my choice between Ebron and Mike Evans, who would I take? And honestly, it's very, very close. I think I take Ebron only because the Giants have no other tight end solutions on this roster, and I don't like the free agents that are out there. While a wide receiver, the Giants still have Ruben Randle might get better. They got they have Cruz, obviously. So I think I would probably lean towards Ebron at this point over Evans, but I reserve the right to change my mind over the next, goodness, still, what, 2.5 months before the draft starts? I mean, come on.
Okay. What I'm thinking is if, from what I'm watching at the combine, it looks like this Kwanjo hurt himself at the, you know, he didn't hurt himself physically, he just didn't perform for some reason. I don't know. He didn't perform well for me, and I think Lewan is going to move himself up, the way he performed. So maybe we might be able to pick up Robinson, and if we have a chance to pick up Robinson. Or Jake Matthews, we got to do it. They're real high on this Zach Martin also.
I'm not sure I'd pick Zach Martin at 12. I think Zach Martin's a good player. I think he'll be a starting offensive lineman in this league for probably, 12, 15 years. But to me, he doesn't have the physical upside that a guy like Robinson, Lewan, or Matthews has.
Right. My personal feeling is if we've got one of these guys available on the first pick, we've got to take him. And I hate to agree with Len this morning, but I kind of agree with him that if Nicholas is there for the second round, we take him.
So here's the beauty of it, though. Even if you don't pick an offensive lineman and one of those big tackles in round one, you can get a starting offensive tackle or interior guy in round two. So you can still come out of this draft with a starting offensive lineman if you don't take him in the first round.
Well, I agree with you there, okay, but that's if we sign Mac from Cleveland or if we pick up, what's the guard from Kansas City?
Jeff Schwartz.
Schwartz.
Yeah.
If we pick up Schwartz or we pick up Mac off the free agency list, then I agree with you.
Okay,
then,
that's
then
fair.
Go get this kid. Go get Ebron. because then we can fill holes elsewhere. If we overpay, there's only three people I would overpay for on a free agency. There's only three people: Mac, the Schwartz, and Nosho Moreno. Those are the only three people that, because Moreno would fit our scheme really well as a running back.
Honestly, I don't think you'd have to overpay Moreno. So you might be willing to. I'm not sure I would be. I don't think Moreno's going to make a ton of money in the offseason. I think if the Giants want Nosho Moreno, they'll get Nosho Moreno.
Well, I'd like them to get him. I really would. Whether we have to overpay or not, we got to get Beason. That's our own. We have to sign Beason. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He fits right in there like a glove with the Giants scheme. But going back to the only way I pick Ebron over one of those tackles in the draft is if we already picked up Mac or picked up Schwartz. And because then we can fill in, I agree, the depth of the second and third round, we can put in a tackle. I like this guard, this Jalapio.
Out of where?
Oh, I forget. I don't have the school. I was watching these guys perform, and I'll tell you what, it was a lot of fun. And a lot of people were high on David Yankee.
Yes, him I'm aware of, and I saw him actually get interviewed. He's out of Stanford, if I recall, right? I saw him get interviewed on the NFL Network. He seemed like a really smart kid, too.
Right, and a lot of these guys could be moved around, which is kind of nice. That's what I liked about James Matthews, is that he could be moved around. I sent you an email about it. James Matthews, take a good look at him. But everybody was high on him. He looks like he's going to go before our 12th pick. But, you know, feeling that we have the 12th pick in the first, second round, we should be able to get two starters. No matter what we do, we should get two starters there.
You should. By the way, Anthony, Kwanja was not medically cleared at the combine. So that's why he didn't do a lot of the stuff that other guys did. So just to keep that in mind on why he didn't put up the numbers.
Yeah, he's a big body. He can play in or out, so he can play the tackle position or he can play the guard position. I like that about him. But he just looked, I don't know, he looked awkward. I don't know. He was fast in the 440, in the 40. So, you know, but he just, I don't know, he looked awkward to me.
Now the other offensive lineman, was it Xavier Suafilo out of UCLA? Is that the guy you're talking about?
The other guards I liked that I was watching was Richardson and Harrison.
Okay, Cyril Richardson out of Baylor, and then you got Harrison
played the center.
Okay.
He's a center or a guard. He can play either one. See, that's what I like about Mac. Okay, Mac's going to just close two positions. He's going to get Boss out of there, and he's going to help us in the middle there. And then we can fill in. So if we pick up Mac, and even if we have to overpay for him, I'm excited because then we can pick up your tight end. We can get Ebron, and then fill in the guard spots or tackle spots later on because we have the depth there in the draft. And I really think that's the way the Giants got to go because their money's going to be well spent that way. It's going to be – they're not going to have to pay for 4 years. You know, these kids can come in and perform. We won't have to open the piggy bank to them for 4 years. And we only have to overpay for a center or maybe a running back with Moreno. That's my thinking there. Or if we get Schwartz, I don't care. Either one. If we get Schwartz, then we could draft the center like this kid in the second round, this Harrison. I liked him too. He's a center or a guard, either one. I like these guys that can be moved around so that we can fill holes. I hate to agree with Paulie. He was filling in for you the one day. But Paulie said, you know, he wants to pick up two big guys, big bodies in the first two rounds. And
I think it depends what you do in free agency. I don't think you can that until you know what we do in free agency. Until you know that, I'm not going to come out here and say the Giants need to take two offensive linemen. I don't think it makes any sense.
No, I agree with you, but I'm talking about what Paulie's theory was. If we fill that with Mac or we fill it with Schwartz and then fill in from the draft, we won't have to worry for 10 years. And that's good. That's good. I mean, we were spoiled having Snead and Deal, okay? And Pugh started to play so much better when Deal came back.
Yeah, I agree with you, but how about this? What happens then if you're in your starting offensive line, you got Will Beatty, you got one second-year guy, and two rookies? I mean, Are you that confident those guys are going to dominate this year and really give you a chance to win? I don't like putting too many young guys there at the same time. They're still going to make mistakes. You want some veterans in there that know what they're doing to help these guys along. And putting, I like having the veterans in between a lot of the young rookie players to try to teach them. And if you have too many rookies in at the same time, I'm not sure you're going to get as much growth as quickly as you might like if you don't have a veteran there to help them out.
Yeah, see, that's why I like bringing Snee back at the low rate. If we can get Snee, and obviously if he says he wants to come back and he's healthy and he comes back, he's going to come back, well, he realizes what the Giants' situation is. He's going to have to cooperate. So if he's willing to do that and then retire as a Giant and as one of the greatest, you know, offensive linemen that we've had, I mean, that's really good because he's a Pro Bowl player. He's going to help a lot and have his maturity on the line. He'll help a lot, even if he has to fill in as a substitute. You know, he's having his experience there. As long as you can get him at the right, you know, price. But if you put Mack on that line or Schwartz on that line and fill in with the young guys and we pick up Ebron, boy, I'll be a happy camper.
All right, Anthony, thanks for the call, bud.
All right, take care, John. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you too, Anthony. Always good to hear from you. Anthony's on Twitter, by the way. I don't know if you saw the Anthony on Phoenix pop up the other day on hashtag Giants chat. Very excited. We're getting everybody to join the conversation on Twitter. The Tino to start posting. He doesn't post on the hashtag Giants chat. He only responds to the people that talk to him directly with his one-word answers. Yeah, very selfish. I agree with that. Extremely selfish. Wants to hold himself above the fray. He's the definition of the fray. 201-939-4513. Tom is in Ithaca. Tom, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Good morning, Tom.
First of all, one thing I was with the Ebron conversation, I really think that he could be a difference maker. I agree with you. But if he's not there at number 12.
And he might not be.
There's teams behind New York, St. Louis, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Dallas. You could argue that all four of those teams are looking at safety. And there might be two safeties where the Giants are picking. And if the Giants can move back two or three spots, pick up a second or third round pick, and Ebron is not there, I think that could be a really good move for them because they could, I mean, there's starters in the second and third round this year. They could pick up, you know, another guard that could start.
I'm not sure a team's going to trade up to pick a safety at 12. That's a little high for the safety position. From what I've seen in these mocks, the earliest the safety's gone is to Dallas at 16, and that's the kid out of Alabama, the Clinton Dix kid.
Okay.
But I do think in general they will entertain offers for teams looking to move up.
Okay. Just a thought that popped in my head with all the Ebron conversations.
Right.
But I really like that at number 12 if he's there. But another thing, if he's not there, one thing that I don't hear people talking too much about is defensive end. You know, especially at the beginning of last year, we really couldn't generate a pass rush. And Pierre Paul's had two down seasons because of injury now, and he's a free agent next year, and especially if we lose Tuck, we don't really have anybody on the team that's going to produce a defensive end for us. And if Pierre-Paul has another down year or he has a monster year, either way, we're not going to be too sure about him, or we're going to have to pay him a lot of money, and he might not be there for us as an option. So I feel like defensive end is something the Giants really might take a look at because that's been their bread and butter on defense, and that we know is going to be a constant.
I would never be surprised if Jerry Reese took a defensive end. Now, I don't believe there's a defensive end on the board that will match with their spot in the first round of number 12, but in the second round or third round, if they go for a defensive end, it would not surprise me one bit.
Okay. All right. Well, just a couple thoughts and a question about one of the Giants' bread and butter positions. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Fred. Anytime, man. Good to hear from you. 201-939-4513. Wrapping up the show, hitting cleanup is Roldy in Bayshore. Roldy, what's up, buddy?
Morning, John. How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I mean, I'm getting excited for the free agency. I'm just, you know, the first thing I want to see is what the Giants going to do as far as, you know, trying to keep John Beeson, Justin Tuck, and, you know, trying to address the offensive line. And I'm just, you know, I know a lot of Giants fans are talking about offensive lines in the draft, but I feel like there's tons of tackles in the first round that, you know, I feel like if you know, if we're really looking for an offensive lineman, which we are, I feel like we could get a good guard, a good center in the third or fourth round. This draft is so deep that there are guards and centers that's going to be there in the third round. There's too many tackles in the first round that I wouldn't want to take and mess up, you know, Justin Pugh, because he finished off the season real good at right tackle. We're paying a boatload of money to Will Beatty. It's to the point that, you know, I feel like we should just wait back a little bit and wait for the third or fourth round. There will be a good guard and or center, you know, that's available. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
I'm not sure if you can get one as late as the fourth round, Roldy, but I believe you can get one in the third. I think you can, but you'd have to pick the right guy. I don't think there are going to be many starting caliber players left in round three, but I think there will be guys there if you make the right pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, I'm so excited to see what Jerry Reese is going to do in this free agency, because, you know, I would really want him to go towards the free agent round to take that offensive lineman. I mean, I like the Ebron move in the first round. You know, that would be a good fit for the Giants, but I really don't think that he would be a first rounder. I think he would be a second rounder. I mean, the draft would probably be the first round. It's going to be a lot of quarterbacks. You know, teams need a lot of quarterbacks. It's
going Roldy, I got to be
honest
with you.
Linebackers.
I've seen a lot of mock drafts where Ebron's going number 9 to Buffalo. So I've seen a lot of drafts where Ebron's actually off the board for the Giants at number 12.
I just don't know if I would feel comfortable with a tight end going in the first round.
Well,
keep
in mind, people really project him to be a Antonio Gates type of production guy. If you can get a guy with that type of production, and I think Ebron could be a better blocker than Gates, I think it is worth the pick at number 12.
But is he a good blocker now? Because I think that, you know, Tom Coughlin would want a bona fide established blocker, blocking tight end. Not a guy that's going to come in there. It's going to take him time to learn that blocking type of scheme. Is he there already to the point where he would fit the Giants, you know, offensive scheme for Tom Coughlin?
Is he an elite blocker now? No, he's not. But I think you can get him to the point where he's a good enough blocker by the start of the season. And if you bring in a guy like Ebron, then I think in free agency you go out there and you get a low-cost guy who's a block-first guy that can fill that role if you need. And then what you can do, since the Giants might be a little thin at wide receiver this year, you run a lot more two tight end sets instead of running a ton of three wide receiver sets.
Right. Now, I was reading the article that Alex Mack is probably going to re-sign with Cleveland, which, you know, it's probably 50-50. I think he wants the more win than anything, but he also cares about the money, too.
Right.
But what about the guy, you know, the center from Green Bay Packers?
Dietrich Smith, you're talking about?
Yes. I mean, wouldn't he be a good fit, like a center for us?
I think he would be a great secondary option if Alex Mack gets taken, and you can get him at a much lower cost.
He wouldn't be expensive, right?
He wouldn't be an expensive guy. I mean, you'd have to pay him a 3 years, $10 million, something like that, or 3 years, $11 million. But he wouldn't break the bank the way Alex Mack would. No.
Right. I mean, if we were to get a guy like that, and if we get a guard, through free agency, I mean, does that solidify our offensive line to the point where now all we got to do is worry about getting John Beeson back, Justin Tuck back? Now let's worry about the draft. Now we already solidify, our offensive line. Now we could go towards, a wide receiver, a tight end or a cornerback. Am I right or wrong?
I think cornerback would definitely be an option.
Right. And like I keep saying, I don't know if you've seen my Twitter, I'm so high on Justin Gilbert. Justin Gilbert is just the ideal size corner right now, and which I think a lot of, the NFL is a copycat league. They're going to see, they saw what Seattle did, with those big, long safeties, cornerbacks. And I think, that a lot of the teams in the league are starting to see that. And I think Justin Gilbert would be the ideal fit, not only just because he's a big physical guy, he could play the press defense, and he's a good returner, which the Giants, we haven't had a good returner in the kicking game. And that has to be addressed this offseason. And that's the only thing that I have today. Thank you for taking my call, and let's go Big Blue.
Thank you, Roldy. And I'll just say this. Remember, if Gilbert's your starting cornerback, what am I going to hear from Giant fans? I don't want him getting hurt on kickoff returns. So I think that's something you look at, too. Honestly, if you sign a guy like Gilbert, I don't think he does kickoffs. I just don't think you risk a starting corner with that. Now, if David Wilson gets healthy, I'd make sure he still does kickoffs. And then you bring in a running back to take the load off him. So if you know, if he gets hurt on kickoffs, you're not killed at the running back spot. Or you pick up a guy like Ted Ginn, whose primary responsibility is doing special teams, and that's it. Or a guy like Jacoby Jones, if you want to throw that name out there too. The cluster, lesser extent. That's what I would do. That's me. Great conversation, guys. We continue talking tomorrow about the Combine draft and the Giants free agent process. Probably we'll get some more Combine stuff, news and stuff coming out later on today. And Thursday, remember, Pete DeMilitas from Pro Football Focus will be joining us for the full hour in studio, taking your calls and talking Giants football. Everyone, thank you for joining us. We'll catch you next time on Giants.com. Stay tuned for more from the Combine on Giants.com. We'll be covering it all week long. Have a good one.